Bibles with us this morning into Joshua chapter 24. Most of you are familiar with where we're going, the scripture. Joshua chapter number 24, and we want to preach the message that God had laid on our heart, and we had kept trying to go and kept trying to look at other scriptures, but God just kept bringing us back to this, and if God brings you to it, that's what he's wanting, amen, if God don't get you away from it. And very familiar passage of scripture, but I hope I preach it in a way that maybe just inspires you and encourages you this morning to be found where God would have you to be. Joshua, if you're familiar with the account, has taken over the reins from Moses when Moses died. Joshua was about 40 years old. He was mid-age when they came out of Egypt. He was, the Bible calls him young men, and all the time we read about young men, and we're always thinking about teenagers and maybe early 20s, but Joshua was around 40 years old when they come out of Egypt. He had been in Egypt. He had been in bondage. He had been a slave. He had served the Egyptians in all that they had for them to do. But praise God, one glorious night, the angel of God passed through, and he found himself under the blood. When the death angel passed through that one night, that God said that he was coming, and that God was going to make a difference in the lives of those who were under the blood, and the lives of those who weren't. And the blood had been applied on the lintel and the doorpost of the house where he was, and God passed through, and Joshua and many others got to see the salvation of God as he brought deliverance unto the children of Israel. And he took them out that night, and he brought them to the Red Sea, and Joshua was there when God parted the sea and brought them through. He brought them into the desert, and when the people complained, Joshua was there. When God brought water out of the rock, and when the people complained, Joshua was there. When God sent manna from heaven, when the people complained, Joshua was there. When the quails came in abundance, when the people complained, Joshua was there to see the mighty hand of God ever supply their every need. And Joshua was one of the men who was chosen of the 12 to go into the promised land and to spy it out, and he and Caleb come back and brought a good report of the land. When others said, no, it's going to be too hard, Dad, it's going to be hard, amen. Daddy, it's a trial to raise a family in this day and time and in this world that has become so crooked and perverse. Joshua was there and seen what God had to offer, and he came back and he told the people, it's a good land, and if God be with us, we can possess it. And he and Caleb alone, of all the multitude of his generation, were able to enter into the promised land. And when God took Moses, the man who was their leader, and brought him to the place where the end of his life was to transpire, Moses prayed to God and petitioned God to send a man among the people to be their leader. And Joshua was chosen to be that man. And Joshua brought the people across the Jordan as he seen the waters part again, and God's people passed across on dry land into the promised land that God had given unto them. It's Joshua who led the armies of the Lord in the conquest of the promised land from battle unto battle. It was Joshua who was there when they seen how sin caused defeat in such a tremendous way that they couldn't even believe that it happened the way that it did. It was Joshua who learned to lean on the Lord and to rely on him and to seek him out. It's Joshua now who's called the elders and the leaders of Israel together, and he's begin to rehearse all these things. He's begin to remind them of God's faithfulness and the way that God has delivered, and God has blessed, and God has been with them through all their conquest and through all their trials. And in Joshua chapter number 24, in verses number 14 and 15, Joshua speaks one of the most profound things that has ever been said. I've seen plaques in numerous amount of houses bearing verse number 15. It's a great verse. It's a great thought. But I want to read these verses to you this morning. Joshua 24 and 14, it says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Amen. And amen. Praise God. I'm glad for that statement. I'm glad for the words that Joshua has spoken there. Brother L., would you take us this morning to the throne of grace? Amen. I want to preach to you this morning on this thought on victory fathers. Amen. Victory, fathers. You know, each and every one of us can have victory. Amen. Each and every one of us can know the victory that comes in serving the Lord. And I just want to focus today. I mean, the message is for everybody. Amen. But I just want dads to be encouraged and dads to realize what it means to live the victorious life as a victory father according to the Word of God. Amen. Not according to what you think, feel, or believe, but according to what thus saith the Word of God. And Joshua, he makes some statements here that we need to heed. He says some things that we need to account for in this day and time and in our personal lives. First, he makes a declaration that we make every Sunday, a declaration that should be our motto and our desire for our lives. Proverbs 1 and verse number 7, one commentator said one time, is the scripture that the whole Word of God hinges on. Amen. And that's to fear the Lord. Amen. It's to fear the Lord. Joshua makes this declaration in verse number 14. And listen to what he says. "Now therefore, fear the Lord." You know, people have got to the place where we no longer fear the Lord. Amen. We've become so comfortable with God in America. We've heard so much about God. We no longer have a godly fear of God. And the word fear doesn't mean terror. The word fear being used here doesn't mean to be in just a fear that you want to cower away and hide. It means a reverence. It means a realizing who God is. Job said in chapter 9, verse 10, "Which doeth the great things past finding out, yea, and wonders without number." We serve a God, and we know a God, and we have a God who does great things without number, and He's beyond finding out. We can't put Him in a box. We can't squeeze Him down to where we can understand Him and comprehend Him. And praise God, we want to live like He's nothing when He's so great and so mighty, and He's beyond our wildest dreams. We need to serve Him in fear. In reverence. We need to lift Him up in our hearts and our lives. We need to give God the place that He deserves and see God for who He is and not who we think He is. See God for who He is and not what our ideal and our thought of what God should be is. But see God for who He is. He's past finding out. He's past understanding. He's beyond being able to comprehend. I can't comprehend and I can't tell you all about God, but I can tell you this in faith, believing. Amen. I want to follow Him. Amen. He says, fear. Dad, let me ask you this. Do you worship and do you serve God for who He is? In Sunday school this morning, if y'all miss adult Sunday school class, you miss a blessing. Amen. Not because it's the class teaches itself. Amen. It's not about me. My land sister Connie this morning, I told her if she was of a male gender, she could be a preacher. Amen. She comes up with some good stuff sometimes and just put us onto the trail of a good scripture this morning. But the Bible teaches us that we need to obey. We fear God when we believe God is God, and God is who He says He is, and God is who He is. Not because we understand Him. He does great things past finding out, and wonders without number. He spoke a world and a universe into existence, and we think we can understand that. He always was, always is, and always will be. And we think we can comprehend that. He's beyond us understanding. He's beyond putting Him in our own little compartment, in our own little box, in the own little image that we have. Do we serve Him? Do we fear Him and reverence Him for who He truly is? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. If we do, then we'll obey Him. Amen. When His Word says, "Thou shalt not," we won't. When His Word says, "Go," we'll go. When His Word says, "Do it," we'll do it. We're not going to argue with Him. We're not going to fuss with Him. We're going to accept Him for who He is, because He's God. We're going to be in obedience and subjection unto Him. Amen? Do we reverence God to the place where we put Him above everything else in our lives? He says, "Fear the Lord." Does the Lord come first? Or is it the wife? It's hard sometimes. Amen. It's better to live in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. That's Scripture. Amen. That's Scripture. That preaches. Amen. Let me tell you something. I know a lot of men that can't be the man that God wants them to be because they're afraid of the woman that they're married to. Amen. You think it's funny? It is. It's become the place where manhood has become a laughingstock. We have feminized manhood. We have feminized fatherhood. We have feminized it to the place to where it makes the women happy, but the men can no longer be the men that they need to be. You don't want to hear that, do you? We've allowed political correctness to slip in over the years. I tell you what. When my daughter got married, my wife looked at me. We've taken away things that were traditionally the father's right. Traditionally, the dad's right because of his standing. He is the priest of the home. His first place and his first duty and his first responsibility is to fear the Lord and to reverence God in everything that he does, and then to teach his family how to reverence and how to worship and how to serve the Lord. And we've taken that away. Because we don't want to submit ourselves unto God. I'm preaching truth. You get mad and upset if you want to. I'm preaching the truth of God's Word. And if you can come and bring me Scripture to show me contrary to what I'm preaching and teaching you, and my challenge is always that, it's always open, my offer is always there. If you got something that you disagree with me about, if you can bring me Scripture, not a verse out of context, but you bring me Scripture and show it to me, I will publicly apologize for preaching the wrong thing. But as long as I'm preaching the truth, if it hurts, then maybe you need to act on it. We've taken away Dad's role, and Dad wants to be the spiritual guide of the house, but Mom won't let him. When my daughter got married, my wife looked at me and she told me, said, "When they ask who gives this woman to be married to this man," she said, "I'm tired of hearing a bunch of wimpy men get up and say her mother and I, because it wasn't traditionally, it isn't scripturally the mother's responsibility and the mother's right. It was Dad's right to do that. The man came and asked for the father, asked the father for the daughter's hand in marriage." Amen? He didn't go and ask Mom. He came and asked Dad. And she said, when they say that, she said, "I want you to say, I do." Not her mother and I. You see, we've tried to feminize Dad's role. And Dad now in society has become a laughingstock. dad tries to reverence God and wants a family that worships God, and he's become a laughingstock because mom don't want dad to have his way. Because the kids want to say in deciding what's going to happen and when we go to church and when we go here and when we go there. And dad's just trying to reverence God and to lift God up. And that role's been taken away from him. Let me tell you something, dad. The greatest thing that you can do is get on your knees and pray for your wife and pray for your children and pray that they will humble themselves and submit themselves under the mighty hand of God, that God would just show them that he has called you to the office that he's called you to. Now just let me say this. Some dads are idiots. Amen. It's just a fact of life. Some husbands are idiots. Amen. Because they don't seek God's face. They don't seek God's will. They don't seek God's direction. But that's for him to answer to. Amen. That's for him to give an account for. Joshua says, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Reverence him. Give him the place that he deserves in your heart. And dad, if you lift the Lord up and you keep the Lord first in your life and the first in your heart and you make him your first priority and you try to please him, I'm not talking about pleasing yourself and using the Lord as an excuse to please yourself. I'm talking about pleasing the Lord in submission and in obedience unto the Lord. And mom, if you'll let dad be the man that God wants him to be and be the husband and the father and the priest of your home that God wants him to be, you'll see that that idiot can turn into the most intelligent individual and human being that you ever encountered if he submits himself unto thus saith the word of God. Amen. 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 Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Put God first. Keep God first. Keep his will and his desire first and foremost in your life. Make it preeminent. And look at what he says. And serve him, verse number 14, and serve him in sincerity and truth. Now first, we're going to have to realize who it is that we're worshiping and serving. First, we got to get first things first. Amen. Am I serving the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, all-powerful God, the one that created the universe and created this world, or am I serving the God of my imagination? Amen. If we put him in the right place and we reverence him and we fear him and we acknowledge him for who he is and what he's done and then we serve him, amen, in sincerity and in truth. Listen, I want you to listen to these words. We read over these words sometimes and we just kind of glance, well, I know what it means to be sincere. Merriam, Webster Dictionary of the English language. Sincere. Honesty of mind. We can run around and we can put on the actions and put on the illusion that we're sincere and serving God and be so far away from God on the inside that no one else but you and God can be aware of it. Amen? He said in sincerity. He wants real people with a real mind, a real heart, a real desire to serve him free from hypocrisy. That's what sincerity means. I'm the real deal. I'm the real deal when I'm in church and I'm the real deal when I'm at home. Amen. I'm the real deal when I'm at work. I'm the real deal when I'm at play. I'm the real deal wherever you see me. I'm sincere and Christ Jesus comes first and foremost in my life. And I'm sincere about that. I'm earnest about that. But here's what most people have a problem with. It's not the sincerity, it's the truth. Amen. They want God for who they want Him to be and when they want Him to be. And they want to throw Him on the shelf delegate Him to some far back place when they're done with Him. Amen. The truth is, He's God all the time. Amen. The truth is, He needs to be God in your heart and God in your life 24/7, 365 and one quarter days a year. Amen. Because of who He is. He deserves to be God. Over in 2 Chronicles is talking about Asa and the children of Israel. When they decided to put away the idols and they decided to serve God and they got really sincere about it. And it says, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought Him with their whole desire, and He was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest around about. Joshua, he made a declaration that we need to fear the Lord. His desire was that we would serve the Lord. And I tell you what, Dad, if you'll serve God and forsake everything else when it comes to serving Him, if you put God first and foremost, amen, He'll do something tremendous in your life. He'll let you see victory in your life. You'll see victory in your personal life. You'll see victory in your home life. You'll see victory in your professional life. Now, let me tell you something. Brother Carlos and Sister Bobby went through a great tragedy lately. And they did ask me, and I told them I would ask the church. I asked you this morning that they need prayer. They need prayer in a tremendous way. Those that don't know who I'm talking about, Brother Bobby and Sister Carlos LaFosse, that they own Frank's Pizza. And about a year and a half ago, Frank's burned down. And it's a Cecil County landmark. But they didn't realize the extent of how God could bless. And they came and they worshiped with us, and they went through the trial and the agony of God. Why are we going through all this? And they ultimately learned they had to trust in the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord. Amen. Whew. Shall renew their strength. Amen. They have opened their doors. And if I asked Brother Carlos the other night, we was up and we was talking to him. I said, Brother Carlos, how you doing, buddy? He said, I'm just surviving. I am just surviving. He said, we can't believe, we never conceived, we never comprehended that things was going to go the way that they have. We're overwhelmed. The Lord has just blessed tremendously. We ask His blessing on our business, and look at what He's done. It's beyond what we could imagine. We're getting out of here at 3:00 in the morning and back by 8 to try to get things set up. We can't keep up with the order. People are going crazy wondering why we can't keep up. We need your prayers. And then Bobby come and sit down and talk to us a while, and she thanked the church. She said the most beautiful Bible she's ever seen. She thanked the church for the Bible. And she shared how God just gave her a scripture that revealed His desire for their life. I know the thoughts that I think of you. Thoughts of good and not of evil to bring you to a certain end. And she has that sitting on her counter. She bought it to sit in the office. And she said, hey, I can't set it in the office. It has to sit out where everybody can see it. Amen. Everybody can know it. And I told him, I said, you know, the Lord said He would do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think. And He's truly done it. She said, but we're so overwhelmed. We're so overwhelmed. But we know God is going to bring it. Carlos is talking about having to shut down. Now, the weekends in a business like that are your bread and butter. He's even talking about maybe shutting down on Sunday. Because his intent was to be able to come to church on Sunday morning. Amen. And be there. But that they need help. They need prayer. Praise God. They've learned what it is in sincerity and in truth to serve God, to worship Him. But that they need help. They need prayer. They want you to pray for, not for them, not pray for my lands, their business is beyond their wildest dream. But they need you to pray for their staff. They ask you to pray for the people that work for them. that God would help them to understand and to function and to learn and to pick up these things so that they could be able to come back to church and have time to come to church and have time to worship. Right now, their life is in a turmoil. You see, when our heart's desire is in the right place, amen? When God's people began to desire God and began to desire His will and His thing. When God's people begin to get sincere and to get truthful and honest and see God for who He is and accept Him for who He is and worship Him and serve Him the way that He's worthy of being served, God begins to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that they ask or think in their lives, and He begins to bless. Israel had begun to see victory because they had depended upon the God that knew no defeat, the God that no one could destroy, fighting the battles for them. He told Joshua what to do, and Joshua did it. As they entered into the promised land, they found victory at the city of Jericho. As Joshua stood by the city wall, it said he saw a stranger standing there with a sword in his hand, and he said, "Are you for us? Are you for our enemies?" He said, "No." He said, "I'm the captain of the Lord's host. Praise God, I've come to make sure that you're going to have some victory." He said, "Take off your feet. It's time to worship. Our shoes. It's time to worship. It's time to realize that when we walk and talk and worship Him, we're on holy ground, and we need to act like we're on holy ground and act like the one that we're looking to and the one that we're seeking, amen, is worthy of our worship and praise." Amen. He says, "I got a declaration. I got a desire. Dad, we have a duty." Amen. Look at what he said. He said, "And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, I choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." I tell you what, Dad, it's our responsibility. Dad, we have a duty. A Christian, you have a responsibility and a duty to put the things out of your life that don't honor and uplift God. We was in Sunday school class this morning and talking about this, where he says, "Gird up the loins of your mind and be sober." And he says, as obedient children, and forsaking and not going back into the things that you come out of, we need to look different, act different, talk different, be different. When the world looks at us, they need to see Jesus. Amen. Amen. He said, why? It's because God says, "Be ye holy." Amen. God said, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." God said there's some things that we need to start putting out of our lives. Amen. And kids, y'all need to quit getting mad at Dad. Amen. When he tells you there's some garbage that needs to be out of home. I have never liked Hannah Montana. Amen. And when I heard, read something this week about what that white trash piece of garbage did, amen. And I shouldn't say that. She needs the Lord. Amen. That's what the problem is. She's just a sinner doing what a sinner does. But it was so disgusting. It's so disgusting. She got on stage and she took a Bible and she lit it on fire. And then she throwed it on the ground and squatted over top of it and gyrated and twerked and all kinds of ungodly looking mess. She belittles Christians for being Christians and talks about what a bunch of foolish people we are. Let me tell you something. I've never liked her, and now I know why I never did like her. Praise God. The Bible says spirit to bear witness to spirit. When Dad tells you there's something that needs to be out of the house, you need to throw that garbage out of the house. Amen. Amen. He said it's time to clean the house up. It's time to clean our personal lives up, Dad. How can you clean the house up if you don't have your own personal house in order? Amen. How can you expect your kids to live right if you haven't cleaned things up in your life? It's time to take on the duties that God has given you and take them seriously, and to clean up the inner house, to clean up your house, and then try to clean up the house and the family that God has given to you. You need to get your wife straight. She needs to walk. And women, don't get upset. You go back and look in the Word of God. Amen. It's there. The father, the husband, the head of the house is responsible for you. He's responsible for his children. He bears a grave responsibility. And praise God, you need to lift him up in prayer and help him when he says it's time to clean up. Amen. I'm so sick of hearing the arguments that are going on in houses. You don't know how many people I got to talk to, and I got to listen to women whine and complain about their husbands. And the husband say, well, you know, I get tired of just being treated like a piece of dirt. You know, I can say do this, and she says no, and, you know, her words, gospel. That's not right. That's not right. When Dad says it's time to clean up some things, we need to get some things cleaned up. Amen. Now I want you to understand something. Husband is supposed to love a wifey like Christ loved the church. Amen. This is wifey. She signs my card. She gives me a card. She signs it wifey. Amen. Amen. Husband is supposed to love the wife like Christ loved the church, not to be a lord and not to be a tyrant in the family. It's supposed to be a partnership. Amen. But it's a partnership in which he bears a very special and a very grave responsibility. And I tell you what, Dad, you need to be watching what's going on that TV. And I tell you what, most of it ain't fit to... In all honesty, I could just about throw the TV out, and it's just got so trashy anymore that I could just about throw the TV out and wouldn't even miss it because it's not fit to watch. There's stuff on there that ain't fit to even listen to, let alone watch. And the cartoons are just as bad as what's supposed to be cartoons. And I tell you what, any of you listen to that square bob ignorant pants? Amen. You need to just get rid of him. It teaches disrespect. It teaches rebellion. Amen. I mean, I'm just picking on some of the stupid stuff that I've seen because I got grandkids. Amen. But we need to throw some things. We need to get some junk out of our houses and out of our lives. We need to get some things far from us. And we need to start doing the things and emulating the things produce and look like godliness and look like holiness and look like a Christian living and Christian lives. Amen. We need to start doing the things that are pleasing unto God. You know, we know the scriptures when he says here, get rid of the other gods. We know the scripture in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt have no other God before me. Let me tell you how seriously God takes this. In Exodus 23:13, in all things that I have said unto you, be circumspect and make no mention of the name of other gods, neither let it be heard out of the mouth. God don't only want you not to make another image and to rear yourself up another. He don't even want you to talk about them. Amen. Amen. That's how serious he is about this thing. He says, be circumspect. You know what that means? Be sure you're on the mark. Amen? Be sure you're right there where you need to be. Folks, all of us have some things that we need to get out of our lives. Amen? If there's anybody here that thinks that they're so holy that you don't need to get some things out of your life, you got a problem already. Amen? You got a problem. We've all got things. We've all got issues. We've all got our little besetting sins. And we need to get these things out of our lives, that our lives might be holiness unto the Lord. For we are a priesthood. Well, what did the priest wear? What did it say on the priest's garment when he went in, on his bonnet when he went? Holiness unto the Lord. Amen. Dad, you're the high priest of the house. Mom, you're part of the royal priesthood of Christ. Young person, if you're a Christian, you bear that grave responsibility. We need to get rid of all these other things and learn to do what Peter was teaching over in the Sunday school lesson this morning. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And lastly, his delight is serving the Lord. He says, and choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Notice he didn't have to go and ask Miss Joshua for permission to make that statement. Amen. First, he took personal responsibility. He said, as for me, I'm personally making this choice. As for me, I'm personally going to make the decision on which way I'm going to go. It's not because the preacher said so. It's not because somebody over here said so, or some psychologist or sociologist or some book that I read said so, but I'm making this choice of my own self and of my own volition that I am going to serve the Lord. And not only am I going to do so, my family's going to do so. And notice again, he didn't have to go ask anybody's permission to do that. Amen. He said, as for me in my house, you want to be a victory father. You want to see victory in your household. You want to see victory in your life. Make that personal choice for Jesus. Amen. And then make that personal choice for your family. Amen. If you're a man of God, your family ought to have a drug problem. Amen. If they don't want to go willingly, amen, they ought to be drugged at the house of God. Amen. I heard them people talk about they had a drug problem. They was drugged to service on Sunday morning, drugged to service on Sunday night, drugged to service. Man, come back here tonight. You find out there ain't no drug problem around here because we got too many dads that haven't made a choice. We got too many dads that haven't made a decision. We have too many dads that haven't purposed in their heart that they're going to put God above all else. Amen. And the rest of the family just follows dad's lead. Amen. We need some more families with some drug problems. Amen. Biblical drug problems. Amen. They drug me to the house of God. He didn't have to get permission. He didn't have to go anywhere else. He said, as for me and my house, we collectively, husband and wife, we collectively, it's just hard when you see women or men that'll come to church and their spouses won't come. I got a family right now that I'm dealing with. Years ago, he got saved. He made a profession of faith, tried to get her to go to church, couldn't get her to go to church for loving her money. Now they're having problems and she wants to go to church and he don't want to go to church anymore. And she's whining about him. I said, well, you're the problem that started it all. When your husband got saved and wanted to come to church and wanted the family in the house of God, you didn't want to be there. You balked at him. You argued with him. You fought with him. And now look at where you're at. We collectively, I can't do it on my own. She can't do it on her own. Amen. She's been more faithful than I have, thank God. Amen. But it takes we collectively. Amen. It takes we as a united front. It takes we as a family. It takes we as a church. As for me and my house, we collectively will serve the Lord. Praise God. We're not here this morning to impress you. We're here to praise Jesus. Amen. We're not here because we want to hear your accolades and your praises. We're not here because Brother Jim gave me a check this morning. We're here because Jesus has called me to uplift his name. name. And if I wasn't here preaching, I'd be here to hear a Brother L or somebody else preaching. And praise God, I'm here to serve Jesus. Amen. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's getting our whole frame of mind. That's what this whole message is about. Let's yield ourselves. Submit ourselves. Surrender ourselves to obey God and serve Him. And when we serve Him, we honor Him. When we honor Him, we give glory unto Him. When we give glory unto Him, praise God, He shows up and He begins to inhabit the praises of His people. Amen. And He changes our lives, and our lives become different. Victory dads. Victory Christians. Victory individuals. But the first thing you got to have is Jesus in your heart. You got to believe He's who He is. Romans 11:6 says, "For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." I believe Him for who He is, the God that created the universe. I believe Him for who He is, the God that sent His Son into this low land of sin and sorrow to pay the sin debt that man owed. I serve Him for who He is. He's my Savior. He's my Lord. He's my Redeemer. Amen. He's my justification. He's my hope. He's my help. He's my Redeemer. Amen. He's everything I need and everything I want, everything I long for and everything I'm looking for. He's everything that I want to honor in this life below. And praise God, I can't wait. I can't wait for the time when I get to worship Him in person. I get to worship Him face to face. But until then, I need the purpose in my heart that I'm going to fear the Lord. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to take care of business that needs to be taken care of. And I'm going to actively pursue worship in my life. Brother Jim, sister.